How's it going, folks? Evan Dran, Unofficially Brilliant, coming back at you. New episode, episode 5. As I'm sure you all heard in the intro, we had a lovely track from a good friend of the show, Diego Sanguinetti. Song's going to be called It's So. And if you want to check him out, go ahead and check him out at diegosanguinetti.bandcamp.com. It's going to be featured in the link dump, because I know Sanguinetti is a really difficult last name to spell, trust me. It's very difficult to spell. And in other housekeeping news, as I'm sure you all can hear by the lovely sound of my beautiful voice, that we have finally upgraded our audio equipment to something halfway decent. We invested in a couple of microphones for Kai, myself, and a guest or two, and audio interface to hook them all up, and it's been a great help. Definitely some high quality, in terms of audio, high quality audio podcast coming at you in the pipeline. Let's see, anything else? Oh, if you're, you know, if you want to be on the show, you want to fill that guest mic, or you know someone who's interesting, go ahead and fill out our application for guests. We're looking for interesting people, cool people, funny people, just people who we could have an interesting, thoughtful, and enjoyable conversation with. It's up on our Twitter page and on our blog for any of you folks out there who really want to get involved in the conversation. Episode 5, good episode. This technically is episode 6 we recorded. This is our 6th episode we recorded. Episode 5 had to be cut for audio quality reasons. It just sounded really bad, so we're not going to put it out. But y'all won't ever hear that. So this is essentially episode 5 now. What was formerly called episode 6. Now episode 5, we talk about a lot of social things, a lot of stuff going on in the world, a lot of interesting stuff. You're going to notice around the 30-minute mark, I think it's like 26 minutes somewhere in there, that we like cut out halfway through conversation. That's part of the reason we invested in this mic and stuff. Recording it on the phone has some problems with it, to say the least. So we get cut out halfway through there. We pick it back up. So you're going to hear It So come back on around there. And listen to a little bit more of it. It's a great song. And we'll get back into the conversation a couple minutes after that. And without any further ado, here is episode 5 of Unofficially Brilliant. All right, listeners, we're back at it again. Here we are, episode 6, Unofficially Brilliant Podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome, everyone. A little bit of housekeeping. Uh-huh. We just started our blog. We just released episode 1. All of these have been recorded prior to any of them getting onto the actual...
Right, so this will be the first episode that is obviously...
After that event and horizon of
making the blog and making the website, or the WordPress, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And there we're going to post, you said... opinions.
Yeah, just blog posts, opinion pieces, just, you know, whatever we're feeling like that day. All of the episodes can be found there.
Mm-hmm.
They're posted, thankfully, on podcast.com for free.
Wow.
That was great. I was trying to find somewhere we could host this podcast and not have to pay any money, and that was the only place I could find it. So shout out to podcast.com for
there you go.
Free podcast hosting.
Yeah, and you can find it on the iTunes podcast
iTunes
app.
Yeah, we're now on iTunes.
With a little E next to it, because we say bad words.
Yeah, we're fucking out here doing all the fucking shit. You know?
Fucking shit.
Exactly.
I love this podcast.
You know, I'm glad we're doing it as well.
Me too. So if you want to, you know, follow up in the places where you can get more and consistent content from us, the Unofficially Brilliant Podcast WordPress. Mm-hmm.
Definitely on the WordPress. You can always subscribe on iTunes. That's probably one of the best ways for us to follow up. You can always follow us on Twitter. You'll get regular updates on the podcast and all of our exploits there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's about it, you know. Or you could follow us in your car. That would work, too. Just follow us with
just turn your
weapons.
Lights off so we don't see you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hear weird stories about girls being followed, like, all the time.
God, I'm so glad. Like we said in the last episode, or, like, a couple episodes ago, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that kind of shit. Like,
we're
I'm
not
so over that.
It's such a shitty, like, environment to live in. When you're literally at risk for being, mm-hmm. like, stalked at any given moment.
Yeah.
It's horrifying, being a woman.
It's... Because men have to walk that line of being, you know, am I being assertive and sexy or aggressive and creepy?
Right. Because at the same time, men don't really know how to balance that spontaneous, sexy kind of...
Domination sort of
appeal. I guess so. But it's also like women respond to confidence, right?
Absolutely.
And men often confuse confidence with maybe arrogance.
Assertiveness.
Assertiveness, yeah.
Being too assertive.
being too assertive is the thing. Because women like some sort of assertion. Yeah. At least some women do.
Leadership skills.
Exactly.
Leadership qualities.
Yeah. I think that's objectively attractive in a male.
The dominance hierarchy.
Yeah. There you go.
No, but yeah, I totally feel you on that, that there's kind of that hard line guys have to walk, and it sucks that women have to bear the brunt of men not knowing when to quit.
Men very rarely pay the consequences for their misunderstanding. And I think that's why it's a good topic to cover, I think, if not on this podcast, then another.
Mm-hmm.
Describing the fine line between, like, sexual relations.
Mm-hmm. It's inherent social differences between the genders, right? Yeah. There's those implicit social, constraints put onto men.
Yeah.
Where they should be chasing after girls but they have to also maintain a respectfulness, right?
Right.
And a lot of guys seem to not know where that line is drawn.
Right. I mean, it's a very narrow threshold of
so do you think it's more that it's good guys not knowing where the limit is, or it's just creepy dudes being creepy?
Oh, it's got to be both.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure the most creepy offenses are the ones being done by creepy people.
Right.
But, I mean, you get nice guys who are just trying to compliment women in the wild, right?
Right.
In public places who, it's not, perhaps not wrong to do so, but they're being wrongly accused of sexual assault.
In some cases, I would say so.
I saw a sign that said, give somebody a compliment today. Make someone's day brighter or something. And somebody took a picture of this sign and posted it on Twitter, I think, and said, oh, yeah, like, what a great day to, like, sexually assault somebody. And I'm like, that's not what sexual assault is.
Yeah, that's really not what that is at all.
Yeah, like, if you're calling that, giving somebody a compliment, sexual mm-hmm. assault, then what do you call actual sexual assault?
Right.
If you're putting all of those things under the umbrella of sexual assault,
mm-hmm.
that's a fucked up world to live in, truly.
Right. A lot of it, I think, has to do with, I think the Me Too movement, amazing movement. I think that no one can really deny the fact that it's all of these victims coming forward and taking down these aggressors who they didn't think they could in the past.
Agreed.
But I think one of the unhealthy side effects I think people overlook is this kind of mob mentality.
It's almost like a panic.
It's kind of like, what was it called? Like the Red Scare, right? Where anyone who they thought was a communist is just ousted.
Yeah.
Anyone who you might even think of being sexually deviant in any way seems to be getting ousted. I mean, I think ultimately that it's for the better. I think it's better to get these creeps out and have a couple people fall by the wayside
right.
than to leave all of those bad people in. But mm-hmm. it sucks to see that there's a level of inequity there.
There's confusion surrounding the topic that is getting so much attention
mm-hmm.
that doesn't necessarily, it's almost like it's almost half thought of, I think.
Right.
In the most serious cases, I think the Me Too movement is very effective.
Absolutely.
Like, Harvey Weinstein.
Weinstein.
Just today.
For sure.
He just turned himself in.
God bless. I mean, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
This guy would have never stopped doing what he was doing had these women not come out, not, put his offenses out in the open, not for the world to see.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's so much better that this industry is now rid of someone so awful.
Yeah.
Right? But on the same hand, you have someone who, like Louis C.K., I think Louis C.K. is being vastly over-criticized. I mean, to be fair, you shouldn't jerk off in front of people. I'm not arguing that
right.
jerking off in front of people is something you should do.
Right.
But to say that he's on the same level as a Bill Cosby or as a Harvey Weinstein is for sure wrong.
They're just two different cases.
It's not the same. It's not the same at all.
Absolutely. And you get the same with any sort of social justice system, like mm-hmm. the Black Lives Matter movement. Like, you get they're completing cases as the same when they're completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that every single case is not valid in terms of criticizing
right.
and sort of allowing your movement to highlight these things.
Mm-hmm.
But every case is different. They can't be treated as the same anyway. Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier to, we always come back to this because it's kind of tribal mentality, right? It's
right.
this sort of team versus the bad guys. And I'm not saying by any means that a lot of these guys aren't bad guys. I think a lot of them are.
Mm-hmm.
But it sucks to see people who may have just made mistakes in the past being, you know, lumped in with real sexual offenders, real people who have caused a lot of pain and damage to people.
Right.
Right. Which, I mean, of course, maybe there's some kind of underlying issue we don't know about in the public, but it seems like some of these guys are being treated unfairly.
I agree. What was it that Louis C.K. did?
My understanding, it's that he would invite women to his hotel room, be jerking off in front of them, and then that was about it. It's not like he, to my understanding,
he didn't drug them and rape them.
He didn't
them,
drug them. There was
like
no
Cosby.
Rape. I think it was a lot more of like coercing them to watch him jerk off.
Yeah.
And which is
see
weird.
What follows.
Weird.
Oh, no, yeah. No,
not,
that's not okay.
Not okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it's certainly not the same as rape, and it's certainly not the same as
not the same
somebody.
Like Bill Cosby drugging and raping chicks for 30 years.
Yeah.
Not
and
the
it
same
was
at
like,
all.
How many women was it that...
God, I don't know. I have no idea. It is a alarming amount of women who came out against Bill Cosby.
Yeah. And his legacy is kind of... And I'd like
it's
to
tarnished.
Talk about this.
It's
yeah.
tarnished.
It's gone, dude.
Absolutely.
It's so gone.
No one will ever remember Bill Cosby for the funny, lovable guy he was because...
No, I think they will.
No, I don't.
I think they will in terms of contrast. Like, they'll remember, oh, we loved him in the 80s, right? The Cosby Show, his stand-up is, like, fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then, turns out...
He was actually some weird fucker.
He was a weird rapist.
Yeah.
And that's awful.
Absolutely.
So... You asked me this question a little bit ago. Do we still, or can we still enjoy, like, Louis C.K.'s comedy and Bill Cosby's comedy and Harvey Weinstein's movies?
Yeah. It's to a different degree with Harvey Weinstein, because he more produced movies as opposed to, like, being the
one. A director and artistic.
Yeah,
force,
he funded yeah. them, worked for the companies, right?
Right.
It's a little bit different, but...
I agree.
It's this question of, can we disassociate the people's art from the artist, right? Is
yes.
there some way to disassociate that? Can we take in... something, because I still love Louis C.K.'s comedy. I, again, not a fan of him inviting girls to come watch him jerk off.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. But
yeah,
like,
I personally wouldn't watch him jerk off.
No, he's gross. He's a,
yeah.
he's a gross individual.
But to be fair, a lot of his comedy is sort of, he that character that seemed like it was a fake character he was building for himself, mm-hmm. I think it might have been true, because he has a lot of comedy about jerking it.
Just being just...
And, like, a sexual deviant.
So morally deplorable,
and
yeah. like, he does all this weird
and
shit.
And I thought it was like, oh, haha, like, good one, Louis C.K., like, that's
yeah.
pretty funny, right? But there might be a little something more to it. I mean, obviously, right?
Yeah.
So does that make the comedy a little less? I think in Louis C.K.'s case, a little bit, because it's about what he was caught doing.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Bill Cosby, I still love his comedy. Like, I still really like his stand-up.
When he was doing stand-up, you can't deny that he was good. He was really good or influential.
He was,
you can't
yeah.
say that he wasn't. But I really do think that his legacy is completely tarnished now.
Oh, no. Like, he's not a good guy by any means.
No.
I mean, when you do that, you kind of give up the right to be called a good person.
Yeah.
But I think if he never... did this to women, his comedy would still stand the test of time for decades to come.
Oh,
I mean,
agree.
It already has. People still look back on The Cosby Show and his stand-up specials as being some of the most influential comedy of the time.
Absolutely.
He's on, like, thousands of top comedy lists or top comedians lists. And if this never happened, then he would stay the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, since this offense to women does not affect the comedy, why should we think of the comedy as any less?
It's that same question of can we disassociate? I think you can to an extent, but when it's like something so heinous that this person is clearly just a monster,
right.
It's hard to take him, you know, at face value.
Yeah, you shouldn't
right?
support it. Like,
no.
You shouldn't go out and buy a bunch of Bill Cosby merch.
You shouldn't go to a book.
If they're still available.
You know, he was, during the whole trial and stuff, he was, like, going to shows and doing shows. Comedy shows.
He was? Who
yeah.
was going to those?
I don't know. I don't.
People who, like, didn't believe it?
I think it's just people that's like, there's no way. There's no way Bill Cosby's actually playing right now. Or, like, actually.
Yeah.
Actually
doing stand-up.
Doing stand-up right now. But, like, that's crazy, right?
You think he made jokes about the trial
God,
and stuff?
I don't.
If
maybe.
He did, that'd be wild.
That's incredibly fucked up.
No, but, dude, it'd be a great mic drop. I mean, it wouldn't be a great mic drop because, like, I mean, fuck Bill Cosby. But, like,
yeah.
it's... It'd be really funny if he did. I'm not gonna lie. Like, if he just went up there and started saying something, like, that would be kind of wild,
yeah.
knowing that he, you know, did this and knowing he would probably get caught for it.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of went off on stage as, like, a last hurrah.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of wild.
That would be wild. And I think I would love to see the VODs of that, but I would in no way want to go support Bill Cosby.
No, I would not buy a Bill Cosby ticket.
No, I would for sure torrent that shit.
Yeah, fuck Bill Cosby. I got an email from, what is it? When they, like, the government
the agency. IRS?
No, the government agency that, like, gets down on people from torrenting stuff. Because I was torrenting the last season of Game of Thrones.
Nice.
Like, after one episode, I got an email, and they're like, you better stop, bitch. And I was like, God damn it. Like, only the first episode, and thankfully the season wasn't too great, but I had to go to Luke's house.
To torrent it?
No, not to torrent, just to watch it.
Oh.
And which was fine, because I got to kick it. But, like, it's...
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's... That's crazy to be able to find. I mean, it's fair.
I was allegedly
committing an offense.
Yeah, I don't admit anything.
But that's crazy.
I was young and dumb, Evan. Many moons ago.
It's crazy. I have allegedly torrented many things. Uh-huh. Allegedly.
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 Uh huh.
But never once got received an email.
I have been accused of torrenting many things.
Oh man.
What wouldn't you torrent?
I love that whole, like, ad campaign back in, like, when the internet first came out and they were, like, trying to prevent piracy. It's like, you wouldn't download a car. It's like, I would absolutely if I could. Yeah. Download a car. If I could right now steal a car from no one and have no one miss the car and right. really only people who had taken the loss are the dealership and the people making the car,
right.
I don't give a fuck. It's like, yeah. Like, half the reason I would never steal a car is because I'm taking someone's car who needs it.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, I wouldn't steal a car simply because, A, I don't need to steal a car.
I don't need to steal a car. I have
B,
a car.
That would suck for the other guy. I would hate to have my car stolen.
But if it's more of I'm illegally, in air quotes,
yeah,
taking the, you know, existence of this car and making another one, and right. I'm taking it.
Duplicating
this car.
Concept of a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could, I guess, 3D print all the parts of a car and put it together. I mean, it'd be a shitty car, but, you know, in the future, you probably
No, we're
could.
Getting to that point where you can 3D, you're going to be able to 3D print damn near anything.
Yeah, I mean, people are already 3D printing, like, anything that's made of entirely plastic.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Someone makes guns.
Yeah, you can make gun parts. Yeah.
Which is horrifying.
It's crazy.
It's really scary.
Once we get into a point of 3D printing, it's going to be crazy how we deal with intellectual property theft and stuff like that, because... Once you have the, what are they called, cat files, whatever they're called, the 3D print files?
Yeah.
Once you have the cat file, couldn't you essentially just create as many of that 3D printed object as you would want, right?
I suppose so.
As long as you had enough filament to,
yeah, to
manufacture
it. Yeah. So what about patents? Where do patents go?
How would you patent?
Yeah. Like anything.
Yeah, anything. If I could 3D scan like a part for my phone, why would I ever go to Apple to get it if I could just 3D print it at home?
Right, or get your buddy to do it.
Or get my buddy to do it, or get someone I know to do it. Why would I ever... That's one of the crazy things with Apple specifically, that, like, kind of on a side tangent. They don't release their own, like, operations, like, not manuals, but, like, parts specifications because they want you to go to Apple to fix it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what they changed... Stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Like their phones and like the charging port got a whole bunch of slack.
It's crazy because you don't have, when you buy an Apple device, you don't have the right to fix it. You have to go to Apple to fix it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy, you know?
I don't like that.
Could you imagine if Toyota told you could only go to a Toyota dealership to fix your car? You couldn't do it at home?
Yeah, it sucks.
That'd be awful.
Because what do I do with my years of mechanical training?
Exactly.
Right? That's just...
And in some cases, it's illegal to even do so. Not even, like, you... It's impossible. It's just... It's backed by the law that you're unable to do this.
That's just... I don't like that.
I don't like that either. And then it goes into this whole planned obsolescence, you know, debate, right?
I mean, it's borderline manufacturing monopoly on your own product.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you could do it. I mean, there obviously are. But, I mean, is there anything wrong with doing that? Like, I know we don't like it just because, like, that's our intuition.
I think legally, they're a private company. They can do whatever the hell they want, right?
Uh-huh.
I think, but morally, I think that's completely reprehensible because you're just trying to farm more money out of your consumers who are already buying your products.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to just making your product better and pleasing your consumer, you're making them intentionally worse so that they can come back to you and you're either going to A, buy a new one, or you're either going to B, pay arguably the same amount to get your old product fixed.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm.
That's annoying.
It's absolutely annoying.
It is almost the definition of, like, tedious and annoying and just sort of like loathsome business.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not to benefit the consumer in any way.
No, it is quite literally the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it gets to that point where, you know, Apple products are some of the best on the market regardless, right? And
right.
If I don't want to buy the Apple product, I have to almost take a step down in quality in some case, in some arenas,
right? Or at least an incredible detour elsewhere.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are certain professions you can only use a Mac, right?
Yeah.
I know nowadays it's almost looked down upon to have a non-Apple smartphone, right?
Yeah. Now,
I mean,
To an extent.
To an extent,
no one's going to beat you up.
No one's going to beat you up, but no, people... I mean, I thought it was crazy, but I heard some girls say, like, it's unattractive when a guy has green text, when they text them and their text is green.
Really?
Girls aren't into it. They like the blue text.
Seriously?
I've heard this from multiple people before.
Like, firsthand?
Firsthand.
That's... I mean, there's got to be something to that, right? I almost guarantee if somebody did a study, that would turn out true. Because I kind of think the same thing.
I kind of think it's true, too. When I see someone has a green text, it's just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
it's not even
it's bad. It's just
different.
You know, it's different.
It's definitely a noticing thing. I didn't know it would go as far to just completely say it's unattractive in a male.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
That's really crazy. That's actually, I don't like that. If somebody told me, like, oh, yeah, you have green text, therefore... I'm not going to, you know, go out on a date with you.
I don't think it's a deciding factor, but it's a factor.
Which
and that's crazy, right? We've come to the point, I mean, 100 years ago, most people didn't have a phone.
There you go.
Right? And now it's to the point where you don't have the right phone.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Your smoke signals aren't being made with oak wood.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
Why are your smoke signals charcoal gray and not, right?
Fucking plebs.
Exactly.
I hate that. It's, oh gosh. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's those little those little bits of facts about interactions that I almost don't know what to do about it. Like, mm-hmm. There's almost nothing we can do, obviously. But like, that wasn't even something I had heard of, you know, 5 years ago. I wouldn't have heard of that.
Oh yeah.
Like this is rapid new.
It's just the way technology is progressing now, and the way it's so integrated into our social environment as well. It's getting to this point where. It's hard to separate any social interaction away from technology now.
Yeah. I mean, it's most of the social interactions do happen online.
Mm-hmm. Either online or through a electrical conduit, FaceTime, Skype, stuff like that.
Do you think that has any negative effects?
I think so, for sure. I think
it does as well.
I mean, you didn't see the same rate of cyberbullying. First of all, you didn't see cyberbullying as a thing, right?
Yeah.
Until the invention of the internet. But you didn't see, right, people just being nasty and mean for no reason online. Or, like, even through mail, right? Like, let's say there was some famous person. You didn't see people sending them, like, piece of shit, I'm a fuck your mom, right? All that crazy stuff.
Through the postage service.
Because it takes way more effort.
Yeah. I think, buy the stamp.
Yeah, no, you have to go to mail it, right?
That's awful.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with you don't get that face-to-face interaction.
Right? Yeah, I think there is something to be said about the lack of face-to-face contact that I think people... I mean, I think people are going to be much more aware of the social cues that happen via text and via, you know, Twitter interactions and things like that, but much less so when it comes to, like, face value.
I think, honestly, that could be a part of the whole thing tying back to earlier, why people, like, males specifically are not getting some of these social cues.
That's true.
It could be because our social interactions have become so digitized, right?
Yeah, and they're so far and few between now. Like, a genuine social interaction between somebody, like, that you came across on a park, say, hey, nice dog. I mean, that still happens, but that's not what you expect from that 20 years ago is completely different from what you expect from it.
Yeah,
now,
I think a lot of it has to do with just the fact that people don't want to talk to people in face anymore.
I know.
People don't want to.
Every time I sit down almost anywhere in a public space, unless I'm in like a really bad mood or something,
mm-hmm.
I almost want literally anybody just to sit down and talk to me just because it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, you know, if this person turns out to be a dick, I can just walk away, whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess that could be scary for women. But it's just... I have absolutely no problem with being approached, and I still feel weird about approaching people because I don't know if that mindset is shared between everybody.
Yeah.
And it's spooky. Because yeah. I don't know if somebody's going to take offense to me, you know, asking them the time just because time is so accessible to me now.
Yeah.
Because, like, oh, you know, I have a phone in my pocket, I have a watch on my hand, there's clocks everywhere.
Yeah.
And somebody might just be pissed off that, like,
it's really hard to yeah, it's hard to be late nowadays. Clocks
it
everywhere.
Is. Yet, it still happens.
Absolutely. It's crazy, too, just the fact how little people really do interact with strangers, especially. Talk more about the social pressures of face-to-face interaction nowadays. Do you think they've changed? Do you think they're different? What do you think the... Because I feel like normalized interaction has changed profoundly from the last 10 years, right? At least.
I feel some effect where face-to-face conversation seems to be more... I mean, it's hard to say, really, because we haven't lived that long without this sort of thing.
I mean, we're the first generation to really live... with the internet, right?
Right.
Our entire lives, basically.
Right.
And so it's going to be interesting to see how our kids
and
the kids after them interact.
But with social media, I think it changes the game completely. Because not everybody's like a forum creeper, and well, creeper meaning they go on there a lot.
Yeah.
Not everyone stalks, you know, Reddit and things like that and goes on those sorts of outlets.
Right.
But almost everybody uses Twitter or Facebook or
Instagram, some kind of social media.
So the interactions... there, I mean, the biggest thing for me, I think, is how intensely people treat social interactions from, like, Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. To me, they almost mean, unless they're very serious, they mean almost nothing. Like, if somebody, you know, talks shit to somebody on Twitter, this will ruin someone's day.
Yeah, or ruin a friendship.
Yeah, it will. Like, if somebody talks shit on Twitter to me, I'm just like, lol.
Lol.
Like,
yeah,
come
right?
on, dude, like, really? Because that's just not real life to me. And I often think about... if other people consider that as real as almost any other social interaction that you would have gotten at any other point in human history.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know what conclusion to come to. I think in some cases it might be. If there's no anonymity involved, like things with Twitter, if two people have their own personal accounts and they're talking to each other, I find no reason to think of that as something... I mean, it's certainly different, but it's not disconnected from a normal social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's two anonymous people interacting with each other, we don't see that, oh, he ruined my day sort of talk, at least I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also probably because I haven't been exposed to much of that.
Right. I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with just being unable to read, you know, body language. You just don't see the way your words affect people. And you don't even get to deliver your words in an intentional way in 140 characters, right?
It's really, up to them to interpret.
It's up to them to interpret how you're saying it. I mean,
yeah.
That's one of the things with texting, right? How do you text sarcastically?
Exactly.
I've run into this constantly where I text something sarcastic and someone's like, oh, were you being serious?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's fucked up. Or like, did you actually want me to
do that?
They don't
even ask. They'll just assume it's serious.
Yeah.
That I avoid sarcasm in text every single time, unless it's blatantly obvious I'm making some sort of sarcastic remark.
Yeah.
But if it in any way can be interpreted as being unsarcastic, then I avoid it altogether. And that sucks because I like being sarcastic. I know a lot of people who almost excel at the art of being sarcastic.
Yeah.
And that's just a part of social interaction and sort of style of voice or sort of style of character that is lost in these sort of social media interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will take a toll on people's interactions simply because what people say is seen as so completely serious. It's their motto of life if they post something on Twitter.
Right, yeah. I mean, it becomes, because it's your name, right? Your name, Evan Duran said this, right? There's no kind of like offhanded remarks. It's just,
right. And
there's it's no a list of everything you've ever said.
Yeah, and it's there forever. It's there
forever.
Yeah, unless like, you know, the great power outage happens.
Yeah, the blackout.
The blackout. Yeah. I'm a fan of the blackout.
Would you want to live in a... Do you think you could go back, not to say that you've ever experienced it, but to a pre-internet society?
No. Because every society without... Well, I would like to go somewhere now that doesn't have as much internet.
Just to disconnect, unwind.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to live there. Simply because we rely so much on the internet now. And any time where the internet was not even invented is certainly not a better time to be alive than right now.
Yeah. I think the invention of the internet is on par with the invention of the printing press, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Easily one of the most... It's probably the most revolutionary thing to ever have to happen in our lifetimes.
I agree.
It's absolutely... It's literally history that we're living in right now.
Yeah. The pros and cons of the internet, I think, weigh extremely heavily in the pros.
Absolutely.
It's sad to see something so great have such prominent cons in just casual everyday life. Like a lacking of understanding of social interaction and body language and things like that.
It's teaching the younger generations a different way to behave that doesn't translate well into the real world, which is becoming scarcer.
Or at least
scarcer.
Our world.
Yeah.
Because what if when they grow up, that's the real world? And like, that's just the way that the world becomes.
Yeah.
Built upon those interactions.
Have you seen that Black Mirror episode?
You know? I have not.
So there's a Black Mirror episode where essentially everything is, every person has a social media account and every social interaction online and in real life, you get a rating, 5 stars or 1 star.
Really?
5 to 0 stars. And your average rating, it allows you, it's like almost like your credit score. Like, allows you to get a house. If you're a 5-star person, you can get X amount of space. If you're a 5-star person, you can get this car.
Wow.
If you're a 1-star person, you live in the bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
And
that's a good concept.
I do not agree.
That's awful.
It's absolute. Oh, it's a good concept for the show.
That's what I'm saying. That's a really good concept for the show. But
that'd be terrifying.
It would be terrifying. There's no privacy.
It's not conducive to being true to yourself.
Agreed.
You know, you can't, in that society, you couldn't be an asshole. Not to say that it's okay to be an asshole, but it is in some instances.
Yeah.
You can be yourself and you can be assertive and aggressive if you need to be, as long as, you know, you keep it in check. But
if anybody thinks saying, if there's a taboo, you know, topic and somebody says almost anything about it that isn't positive, then that person will be ostracized.
Yeah. And then you limit the freedom of speech and then not limiting to the freedom of ideas, even. Maybe it gets to the point where you can't even think ideas like that. Maybe you for sure can't even say them out loud in that kind of society, but let alone how people think.
I'm still optimistic about the way humanity is going to adapt to the technology.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
I don't think we'd ever let things get to that point. And if they ever do, I don't think they will escalate to that extent, or at least continue for too long.
I didn't read the article, but I did see an article about how there's a app similar to that spreading around in China right now.
Seriously?
You have a social credit score.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't...
To encourage good behavior.
But good, right? Like, quote, quote. Mm-hmm. What is good? It's probably just normal, right? What's normal for them?
Right.
Which I disagree with. Again, objectivism. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I would stay away from that. If that was an option for me to get, I would absolutely not do it.
I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah.
But then it gets to the point where if you don't do it, you're just as bad as people with a 0-star rating. So you might as well just be...
Yeah, you might as well try.
You might as well try, right?
Yeah. But also think of it like somebody without, you know, a Snapchat or a Twitter or a Facebook. These people aren't, you know, that's not being held against them.
Not now.
That's true. I went in for a job interview and they wanted to see my Instagram.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, okay. And I gave them my Instagram and they said if I didn't have one, that would be okay. But I imagine if I didn't, it wouldn't have helped me so much in terms of,
do you think it was more to see if you had like weird offensive stuff on your Instagram or more to see?
Well,
if
it was both, because I would be working with children if I had this job and it was art related. So they wanted to see the art I was doing on Instagram to judge, you know, either my skill or my ability to artistically relate to children. I really don't know what it was, but I can imagine not having an art Instagram would absolutely hurt me. And because since I did, I got, you know, a second interview and things like that. But you know, if I didn't, I genuinely don't know what would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because that first interview didn't go well. I'll tell you that one. It was a phone interview and...
Phone interviews are the worst, man.
There's connection issues. Dude, yeah. I was literally in the middle of nowhere. It was ass. It was so bad. There was, like, trucks passing me by because I had to pull over.
Yeah.
And you're shaking the car. Oh, my God. It was horrifying and stressful.
I bet. God, I dislike phone interviews myself.
Me too.
Never been a fan of them. It's going to be a weird time in the next... In 100 years from now... It's going to be so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you could have said that at any point in human history. But
that's
true.
I think now especially.
We're almost at this threshold of, like, singularity
of
technology.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
It's closer and closer by the day.
Yeah.
Have you seen those Boston Dynamic robots that can jump over buildings? Terrifying.
Really?
Terrifying.
I mean...
Well, it's cool, but, like, does the implications of that, like...
I could take one of those things.
No. You could not take a robot.
I couldn't outrun it.
You couldn't outjump it, I'll tell you that much, right?
No, I can't. But, I mean, those would be used for, you know, firefighters going in search and rescue, things like that.
Yeah,
bomb diffusion. And that's what I like about them, because the positive uses of them are so good.
Oh, for sure.
If, like, a bad guy got a hold of them.
Robot army. Separatist forces.
Yeah. Call the Jedi. Even then, that didn't work.
That didn't work.
Fuck.
The trade unions.
I feel as though, I mean, when I see those things, I get excited. Again, anything that pushes us into...
It's really cool, to say the least.
Yeah. Anything that pushes us into an aesthetic future or a functional future of sort of making the world a better place makes me really, really happy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with one of our friends, and he said something like, oh, I don't like the way this car looks. And I'm like, I do. And he said, why? And I'm like, because it looks like it came from the future. And, like, anything that pushes us into the aesthetic future, I'm totally down for.
Isn't it crazy that we're in the future?
I know. It's getting there.
Yeah.
The sort of stereotype of what you would think the future would look like is getting there.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool. I cannot wait for Replicants Among Us. I don't think it's going to happen. But
it's going to be scary. It's going to be a weird time for sure. Just the ethical implications of that whole thing is going to be wild.
Would you date a replicant?
I don't know. Like, maybe. Because you have to wonder, is, like, with replicants, the free will aspect there.
Well, we don't have free will.
Of course, there's...
There's a debate there.
There's debates about whether or not we have free will, and let alone replicants, right?
Yeah.
And
personally, I don't think we do. And I don't think replicants would either.
Uh-huh.
But...
I think replicants for sure wouldn't have free will.
For sure?
For sure wouldn't.
They, if anything, they might give the illusion that they would have more free will, simply because their computing power might be higher and the things that they could do would expand.
Mm-hmm.
So the branch of things that are possible for them to do might give the illusion that they're doing things that normal humans wouldn't, simply because they're things that humans wouldn't do.
Right.
So yeah, maybe. The answer is yes for me. I'd definitely date a replicant.
It's a hard maybe on my part.
Yeah.
A hard maybe. I'd have to see it. Test the waters.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a replicant dating service where you can buy replicant that you would just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what people... I think that's... People estimate that the biggest strides in artificial intelligence are going to be for things like that. Like lonely online interfaces where you could just talk to somebody.
Yeah, that's like what we were saying earlier, that social interactions are now so few and far between that are genuine. We're pushing forward in a space to make such realistic...
Artificial
social interactions.
Yeah.
Isn't that a little bit crazy? Isn't that a little bit weird?
I don't think it's disconcerting, because I don't think there's anything to worry about existentially when it comes to having artificial social interactions. As long as face-to-face stuff doesn't go away, which I don't see it happening anytime soon, I think we'll be fine. But it almost freaks me out that, like, the idea that people may not ever need to live or leave their houses to live a fulfilling, maybe sufficient life.
For sure, a sufficient life. Fulfilling, that's all, you know, up in the air. But
yeah,
I think we're going to get to the point where you could buy, we're already halfway there. You can buy everything you could ever possibly need from Amazon or some other website.
Yep.
You can do... Most jobs allow some kind of work from home, or if you work for yourself, or if you work at all in the technology sector, you could for sure work from home.
Yeah.
If your hobby is involved any kind of content, video games, you could play that all from home.
Oh, yeah.
You could have a full life of just at home, date on at home,
just
live at
home.
Through the internet. And that's incredible.
Like,
it's crazy that that's become...
A norm.
A norm.
Not even a thing. Like,
it's a norm. It's completely normal now to see a person who doesn't have cable, gets all of his content through the internet, doesn't have a desk job, does all of his stuff through the internet,
is
just a free, is just some kind of freelance contractor who gets jobs online, does stuff, web development, all that kind of stuff.
Without it's, ever leaving without, his desk.
You don't have to, you know? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And 50 years ago, unheard of.
No.
30 years ago, unheard of.
I'd go so far as to say, like, 10 years ago. I don't think anybody would
10 years
said,
ago, it's... It was some
not to the extent
doing,
that it's today. I mean, like, I think only, like, the idea of people doing that would only sort of apply to...
Like, the very, very wealthy.
The top figureheads, the Elon Musks, the Bill Gateses.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if that's good or bad, because I see it as being potentially beneficial in terms of, like, human cooperation, simply because you could cooperate with somebody...
In
literally anywhere in the world.
It's crazy because we can have corporations or even businesses that are multinational without even setting up a, you know, brick and mortar location, right? You can collaborate with someone in India and then...
They exist solely on the internet.
They exist solely in India, right? And then you could collaborate with someone in Australia or China or wherever. Yeah. And it's just as long as they have access to this to the internet, you can do almost anything.
And this is why I fear for... We touched on this, I think, in the first episode, recently listening to it. This is why I fear for the natural world, like things like national parks and stuff like that. Because I see them as being less necessary as they were at any point. And I see the interest in them declining. And I think this is a big thing for the National Park Service, is that the tourism that they're getting is simply not matching up to what it used to be. Simply because I don't think people... you know, have any interest in going to Yosemite or Joshua Tree.
I'm sure there's probably less of an interest now than there was. I wouldn't say that's the sole reason, though. I think a lot of it has to do with corporate interest wanting that land. And under the Trump administration, he's almost completely dissolved the National Parks Act.
Yeah.
Right? You can, from what I understand, there's, you can drill and mine natural and formerly protected lands.
And you can hunt there now too.
Well, I think you were able to hunt in certain ones depending on the season. Not outright, but depending on...
I read something somewhere that you could hunt bear in Yellowstone a year... Maybe not year-round, but seasonally. Like, these bears were previously protected as long as they were in the bounds of Yellowstone. But I think now you could go do that. And again, I may or may not be right here, but I'm pretty sure that's that's what it was doing. And that concerns me.
It depends. I mean, for me, when you get into the ecology of animals and stuff like that, it really just depends on the ecosystem, right?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to just let that kind of naturally fix out, because that's over, you know, 100-year time span, not just a 30, 40-year time span like we would think. So potentially that's sorting out some kind of ecological problem that we may be responsible for by some kind of indirect process, but that's something I would have to look into more. But for sure... we've been seeing that corporate interests have been drilling for oil, for mining for, you know, precious metals, all this stuff on what used to be protected national park land. And that sucks.
Because it does suck.
That was land that was not just for us. It was for our kids and for our kids' kids. It was for
And the
America.
Creatures that lived there. It was quite literally reserves for the natural world as it was sort of...
Right.
On this base level.
It's not even just like, it was land for people protected by the people. And that's being dissolved.
And that's beautiful. Like, truly, this is why I worry about these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be able to see the natural world, or at least parts of the natural world where it seems like they're untouched.
Right.
I like that connection with nature. And I think other people do too. I'm sure other people do too. And I don't think that we are going to get as much interest in that. I mean, I don't equate a virtual reality experience of, you know, let's say going to Yellowstone and actually going to Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I think actually going to Yellowstone is much more valuable simply because you're actually there instead of having the illusion of being there, since even if the experiences are the same. But I don't know. I see it as being extremely dangerous and something that is very unfortunate to dissolve amidst a human condition. Like, why would we want to separate ourselves from the natural world in its sort of pure state?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that as being anything that would be beneficial for us. I see the land we have, I think, is suffice.
it's a lot of it has to do with not only just interests of the corporate sector, but a lot of it has to do with, you know, overpopulation. There's just not becoming enough space for these people. Yeah. A lot of it has to do with just rent is becoming so expensive that people are moving elsewhere, which isn't really affecting the national parks per se, but it's completely changing the demographics and the, you know, the layout of our cities and our states. And it's just, it's a wild time to be alive for sure. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, I think this is probably the most interesting time to ever exist as a human being.
Agreed.
So far.
Yeah. I feel very fortunate to be alive.
I of course, you know, there's just immense possibilities, not only for myself, but just for the human experience that is happening right now, both good and bad.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see the way those coincide and relate to one another.
Mm-hmm. I think all in all, things are getting better. But the new problems that are being presented in this specific period of time, it's almost daunting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not to say that, you know, the problems of, you know, World War One or World War Two or things like that pale in comparison. I don't think they do. But it's, we're almost just figuring out a new way to live and be human, which is not scary, but I think some people are not as interested in even figuring it out, mm-hmm. and just so content with living a virtual life or just doing whatever it is that society is doing.
Right.
And I think that's okay as long as it's not damaging, but you restrict the movement of ideas and free thinking and,
mm-hmm.
you know, those things that really move society along in a beneficial path.
It's interesting to see the way technology plays a role in the development of our, you know, social structure, as the way our cultures are being shifted and morphed by this ever-changing technology. It's hard to keep up in a lot of ways, you know?
It is.
I think it's almost like we've just kind of accepted cell phones being a reality for all people. But, I mean, in 10 years, are we even going to have cell phones, pieces of glass?
They'll be in our heads.
Are they going to be in our head? People are getting chipped now. I mean, would you ever get chipped?
I don't think so.
I don't want to get chipped, man.
I mean, I
don't
see
get chipped.
I mean, like, yeah, it would make things a little easier, but there's nothing I need a chip for. Like, I'm perfectly content with having a phone in my pocket.
I think the way they'll sell it is the convenience. It's like, you don't need to carry your wallet around. You don't need to carry your phone around. It's just, you know.
But I'm fine with doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, once they start implementing technology, I think if it's not solely for, like, either medical reasons or things like that, if it's just for convenience, I'm going to, you know, pass on that. But I feel slow already just thinking about that. I feel, like, old because things are moving so fucking quickly and I don't even know how to work Photoshop. Yeah. Like, seriously, like, it's insane. And I just – it's weird because I'm young yet I feel so old. And to see the world progress at such a fast rate because we've hit that sort of technology barrier where
– we've hit that stride where shit's changing.
Technology's doing things
years.
For itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that's good in the grand scheme of things, but it's offsetting and I think people are feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we see things like difficulty in social interaction and pressure when it comes to things like social media. And, you know, all those online interactions that cause suffering in some way, which I don't think it needs to.
So do you think that it's more that technology is changing the way humans behave or augmenting it in a way that it wouldn't have normally, you know, under normal circumstances? Do you think this is revealing a different side of humanity that was always there or showing or creating a new side of humanity?
Well, I mean, I think there's other people that definitely say more. I don't have an answer for that, but or at least none that is backed in any studies or anything like that. But from what it seems, I mean, it probably is a little bit of both. I mean, to say that technology hasn't changed anything is, I think, a little stupid.
Arrogant, for sure.
But we certainly see aspects of old humanity that are just, you know, have changed to adapt to a technological interaction environment. Like war, right? Like war has always been around.
Yeah.
But now it's just cyber war. That's going to be the norm. And it's going to not be a war of resources. It'll be a war of information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still war, but it's changed in the face of technology.
Right.
But I do think that certain things are coming to light once technology has sort of, you know, shown the light on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think there's an answer to that question, but from my guess, I think it would be a little bit of both. Just from, you know, thinking back in the past and seeing how the other new inventions have changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's again, you know, man, it's just the wildest time to be alive, I would say.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, we have such incredible resources at our fingertips. And I mean, we're uploading a podcast to the internet where before 30 years ago, we to do this would be almost impossible.
We'd need radio
time. We would need radio time. Well, we would need a station to host us. We would need to pay for radio, like studio time. We would need to pay a sound engineer to mix it, to produce it.
If we couldn't do it ourselves. But we haven't gone to school for that, so.
No, I mean, that's also crazy. You see these people, right, YouTube stars, and not to say that they're the brightest or most intellectual people, but they're making good money
on
doing some dumb shit.
They're making whack money.
They're making ridiculous levels of cheddar, right, doing dumb shit. Do you know who Lil Tay is? Have you heard
of him? I've not heard of Lil Tay.
Okay. So Lil Tay is this 9-year-old Asian girl, and her moniker is the youngest flexer.
The youngest flexer.
Yeah, Lil Tay, the youngest flexer, and she has these. I think it's an Instagram page. Uh-huh. She's like over 1 million Instagram followers.
For what?
All she does is she just holds up stacks of her mom's money and says, "What up, bitch? I'm Lil Tay. I'm only 9 years old. I just bought a Ferrari. I'm out here getting this brick. You know, we out here." And it's just this.
So she's making money from flaunting
money that she.
But why do people? Why do people like? What's the interest there?
It's so funny.
It is funny, but it sucks that like that's what people spend their time doing and spend their time being interested in. Like, if somebody's not like, let's say, if everyone was instead reading a book.
Yeah,
I think the world would be a smarter place than people who spend their time checking out Lil Tay and anybody else. Dude Perfect, Trick Shot, compilations. To be fair, some of their shit's wild.
Dude Perfect is honestly an amazing YouTube channel.
Just you think so?
I love it. Like, I'm so glad that they have blown up. I think that, because it's just so wholesome. It's nothing more than them just doing crazy trick shots.
Agreed.
And we've all sat there being like, "I got this." And then we throw some shit, misses, and like, damn, that sucks.
I just don't, I see videos as being art in some way. And I think if it's bad art, or if it's like poorly done, and I'm not saying Dude Perfect's poorly done, but once you watch, you know, a couple Dude Perfect videos, you're like, all right, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I even down to like the way they edit things. They do the same thing for every video. And it's just, it bothers me and I can't watch it anymore.
I for sure don't watch everyone. But whenever I see one that's like fidget spinner Dude Perfect, I'm like, okay, I gotta see what they're doing with fidget spinners. Like, how are you gonna do a fidget spinner trick shot? Like, I don't understand.
My God. Have you seen those videos where the guys just like drop things from this high tower?
Yeah.
I think they're Australian.
Yeah, they just drop shit,
and they're really popular.
Hydraulic press.
Hydraulic presses, yeah. And, like, dude, don't get me wrong. If I had a hydraulic press or a really tall tower, I would drop shit, too, and squeeze some shit, too. But I don't – I would never expect millions of people every single day watching that just out of pure curiosity and interest.
It's crazy. It's absolutely wild that the fact that this Russian dude can sit there in his garage with his hydraulic press – press some shit every couple of days,
yeah,
and then just make that YouTube money.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm cool with it.
I'm cool with it too. Because he's not hurting anybody.
No, and it's good. But like, these people are going to. Well, let me rethink this. It might actually be a good thing.
I think it is a good thing. People, ultimately.
I mean, these are things that if only intellectuals could do, they wouldn't do it simply because they're not as useful. So maybe this is a way of getting people who, you know, maybe aren't as educated, aren't as, you know, busy, giving them a way to sort of entertain the masses, satisfy curiosity of the masses, and at the same time make some money.
Yeah, I think it's awesome the fact that, you know, these people can just take skills or just, in this case, pieces of equipment or architecture that's in their community and just make cool content. And it's just, I think it's a level of creativity that is being boosted by this sort of technological. I think it's a weird level of creativity. I think creativity on the whole is probably a decline, but it's not declining, it's changing in a more practical, not more practical, what's the word, but a more commercial way.
Yeah.
It's changing.
Contemporary art certainly is.
Yeah.
Like, you go to the Broad and you see the way contemporary art is. It certainly seems more commercial than, you know, modern art would be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't really like contemporary art. But I love modern art.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I want these videos to be done artistically, simply because to me they're art, but maybe they're not. Maybe they're commercial. Maybe mm-hmm. it's simply a way to make money by satisfying curiosity and, you know, clickbait, you know, kind of things.
Mm-hmm. I think because you could never have a show. Dude Perfect wouldn't work as a TV show.
You say that, but then they have the Slow Mo guys. They have a show now on YouTube Red.
I mean, YouTube Red is that weird kind of middle ground.
You but think
I think
so?
A TV, like a cable TV show, that wouldn't work.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Well, maybe it would. I could see it working. I mean, do they have stupid-ass cable TV shows?
I agree. But a lot of times, those don't really, you know, last that long.
Agreed.
Pan out.
Agreed.
Right. But I think it's interesting that it's this kind of whole revolution of people making content independently. Independent content creators creating content.
Giving people the power to create content is absolutely a good thing. I think it's objectively true.
I mean, that's what this is. Like we were saying earlier.
Exactly, that's what we're doing.
We would need so many levels of infrastructure just to do this 10 years ago, 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
We would need 5, 10, 15 people to produce the show when we're literally recording it on an iPhone in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Right? It's incredible.
It just sucks that, like, with the more shit coming out, there's going to be a big proportion of that being just stupid.
Well, of course.
Bullshit.
Of course. But I think the media audience has a good way of ruling out bad content.
You think
objective,
so?
Maybe like shitty content. I think there's bad content that is popular, but a lot of the time I feel like it's at least well produced or well shot. Like in a like equipment sort of way, not in like an artistic way.
I mean
way.
Because they have the money to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Right.
Like it's I think there's more bad content out there that's popular
than absolutely.
Good content that's popular.
Oh, that's popular?
Yeah. I think more people
I don't know
are
about
that. Well, I mean, maybe it's just because I'm an elitist. But I see it as being almost everything I see with over a couple million views that isn't, you know, something directly art related, like a music video or something like that, is almost, I mean, that exists solely on YouTube from one sole creator.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost pretty stupid and clickbaity and like, I didn't put any effort into this.
Mm. To say that they didn't put any effort, I feel like is unfair. But to say that it's high quality content, no, it's high quality in the sense that it was made with good lighting, good camera equipment, right? Good audio, which I think is a good thing that the standard is being raised. But while at the same time, it's accessible to anyone.
Yeah,
I think that that's a good thing ultimately. Yeah. That just to take the medium more seriously.
Sure.
When you have well produced content,
are people taking it more seriously when they expect to see, you know, clickbaity like, oh, I hammered, you know, aluminum foil into a ball.
Yeah.
Have you seen those things?
Yeah.
And like the hot knife challenge,
hot
thing, like a year
again,
ago.
Hot knife. Hot knife is a perfect example.
Yeah.
It's you just took this level of just dumb shit.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to a couple million people for.
Yeah. But what's the benefit to society? Like, should these people? I'm gonna sound like an asshole for saying this, but do these people deserve to make the amount of money that they do?
I wouldn't say that they don't, because...
Again, I wouldn't say that the money shouldn't be given to them, or that they don't deserve it, because, I mean, there's obviously something there that's interesting
mm-hmm.
and captures the curiosity of people. But I don't... Just because it's popular, I don't think that means the content is good.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. I think it's ultimately better that there's more content now than ever. Regardless of its quality, I think just the fact of how prolific, because you have this whole sort of notion that quantity is a quality all of its own. You know, when there's so much out there, there's something for everyone now.
Right.
Whereas before, maybe YouTube was more niche, but I think now it's so mainstream. Everyone has
got some sort of entertainment,
some kind of content that they can enjoy on YouTube.
People's opinions about what is good is subjective anyway. So, people are gonna have. You're going to be drawn to what they're drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
I just see it as kind of unfortunate that people are spending their time watching clickbaity videos as opposed to, like, you know, going out and doing something cool. Like, either making your own videos that are genuinely informative or watching other videos that are also genuinely informative and kind of make you a better person, dare I say. But also, I think it takes a certain kind of person to Right. To spend their time doing that.
A lot of people just want to, you know, turn off, unwind. Some people just want to see what happens when you cut a banana with a hot knife.
No, dude, I do.
I do too. What happens? Does it crystallize the sugar in the banana, right? Does it instantly caramelize it? That's what I would guess.
Yeah, I think so too.
But, you know, it's crazy. I think something like 72 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every minute or every...
Wow. Holy shit.
It's become to the point where it's literally impossible
to watch. It's all the watch. B video compilations, dude. It's all the B movie. It's all like every time... It's B movie, but every time they say B, it gets faster. Oh, no. No, you know how many times I've watched the B movie?
How many times?
It makes me... like once.
I watched it once, too, before it was a meme.
Yeah. I liked it.
I thought it was okay at best. But it really was just okay.
I think it's just... For me, it's so much easier to veg out than it is ever, than it ever was before. Oh, and sure. I don't like that. Because I think it encourages vegging out. And I don't think vegging out is a good thing to do all the time.
For sure not all the time. But that's more of a... I hate to say it, but that's a personal problem, you know? That's not like a societal problem, I would say.
I think it could turn into a societal problem.
I mean, if it gets
if everyone's vegging out and just kind of taking whatever they can get... I mean, we're going to get some Wall-E situation where we're all sitting in chairs and all getting fat and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a bit extreme. But still, since there's so many ways to just kind of turn off your brain and just, you know, doesn't that almost surely restrict thinking and sort of personal development and intellectual development?
I think it makes it more of a choice than it has ever been.
Okay.
But to say that it's impossible to do now, I think, is...
Oh, no. No, it's not impossible. If anything, it's easier than it ever was before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also easier to not do that.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it doesn't in a case where, like, dude, I sit back and play some Counter-Strike every once in a while. But I'm not only doing that. Like, I see my brother, and that's like, he just vegges out all the time. And it bothers me, because, like, if that is even... you know, a significant proportion of the population, that's a significant proportion of the population whose potential is being, in my opinion, wasted by simply being attached to things that don't necessarily matter.
Right.
And again, I agree with you. That is a personal problem that needs to be shown to these people so that they can then make life choices to change their ways. But it's harder and harder to do that. Again, you said every second. Or every minute, there's, like, more shit coming out that you can't even watch. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to watch every YouTube video.
Yeah.
Impossible.
It's actually impossible.
Yeah, in the span of a lifetime. I guess it's, like, 2.4 billion seconds in the term of someone's average lifetime.
Yeah.
I guarantee you there's more than that on YouTube.
For sure.
In, like, half of YouTube, there's more than that. It is just, it's crappy to see people just kind of accept almost, like... an intellectual death in that way, simply by just succumbing to what is so addictive nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they design phones to be addictive.
Yeah,
they design websites to be addictive. Things like, you know, you don't even
Candy
have to
Crush.
Go to
Candy
shop.
Crush is literally designed to be addictive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that I stay far away from those things because I'm aware that I will get addicted, at least to some extent, to these things. And I would rather be out doing the things that I enjoy doing genuinely that enrich me as opposed to doing something that I enjoy that doesn't enrich me, which I think a lot of people aren't as keen to that observation or don't even know that it's something that is a detriment to them, which sucks because there's a lot of people out there, since it is so easy to become intellectually enlightened, quote unquote, or at least more so than it was ever before.
Right, more accessible to anyone nowadays as opposed to before.
It's just sad to see people kind of go to the wayside seemingly out of pure whim, which is sad. And again, it limits the amount of human possibility that we could achieve.
Do you think that's more of an issue with the content itself being available or people lacking the discipline to not... like partake in it. It gets to that argument, like, is it the kid's fault for eating, is it the fat person's fault for eating all the bad food, or is it the bad food's fault for being available?
I think it does come down,
it could be both, it could be a mixture of one or the other. Who's to say, really? But I think a lot of it has to do with people lacking discipline, people yeah. not being able to control themselves, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like you said, it's way easier to sit there, veg out for 2 hours, and then go back to sleep and then not do anything all day than it might yeah. be to, you know, challenge your own beliefs on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I think that is more of a problem for that individual rather than to sanction the people making the content
People should be free to make the content.
Mm-hmm.
But again, yeah, I see it as, I mean, it's also, you can't blame a lot of people for doing these sorts of things, which makes it kind of seem like it's no longer a personal issue at this point, because all the good, enlightening, sort of intellectually stimulating stuff is being buried. You know, the YouTube front page, right? You could go on there and it's supposedly a place that's like, you can kind of get whatever you want, right?
Well, it's an algorithm based on what you want.
True, but...
Well, I'm trending, what you watch. Say. Oh, trending. Sure. Trending for sure. It's an algorithm based off of what videos are attracting the most views at the quickest amount of time.
Yeah, all the good shit is being buried by just not intellectually stimulating shit.
But I think that's been the case for most of the time.
I think so?
Well, yeah. I mean, before, right, it used to just be the educated people who were doing the intellectual process. And as, you know, with the invention of the printing press, people could casually do things and casually think about these ideas. And now with the internet being available to damn near everybody,
yeah.
there are just inherently going to be people who don't want to do anything other than watch cat videos or other than watch Hot Knife Through Butter.
So these people wouldn't be doing any sort of intellectually stimulating exactly. activity even without the internet.
I think so.
That's interesting. Again, the internet is certainly empowering, and it certainly
Absolutely.
Makes becoming intellectually stimulated more available than not.
Mm-hmm.
But I still see it. It's just, again, it's just a negative side effect that, you know, like you said, perhaps might have been there since the beginning of human history.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I really don't know what to think about the internet.
Of it's hard to say when we're in the middle of it. It's going to be a lot yeah. easier to look back and figure yeah. that out.
But will we ever be able to look back on the internet?
Well, we'll be able to look back on the early days of the internet in the same way we can look back on the printing press. It's not like printing presses have gone away.
No, I know, but
the impact, right? We can juxtapose that to times before.
But it's hard to say what the world would be like without writing now, if the print, or at least mass, you know, ability to produce writing.
I think it's less that we'll see what it would be like without, but to see the contribution that it made, you know, and
yeah.
the change that happened because of it.
Yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, then it all becomes speculation.
Right.
And that only gets us so far. But I agree with you. Overall, I think the internet and technology is definitely a good thing.
I agree. I think it's going to be crazy, too, when we have kids and stuff. They're going to be able to find, like, I mean, this generation, like you and I, have more photos of ourselves than people 100 years ago would have in their lifetimes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, some people will be lucky to have a photo of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and now some people literally have terabytes of photos of themselves.
Yeah.
And it's, it's going to be crazy when you look back at old Gramps when he was 13,
dude,
right?
I already feel like old Gramps. There's babies who know how to use iPads better than me.
I saw this one baby. He was using an iPad, right? And he memorized what the numbers were, but, like, you know, when you open up the iPhone, it has, like, the keys, like
yeah.
the 1 through 0,
yeah.
or 0 through 9, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
So he memorized not the numbers, but which button to press
the
in order,
the
pattern of
yeah,
the numbers.
Yeah.
And so when he would go to a different iPad, he didn't make the concept that not only was this a sequence of patterns specific to that iPad, he just
right.
assumed that all tablets that had a key
That's cool.
code only had that one.
Right.
Only had that, like, sequence of,
yeah.
You know, that pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was, oh, yeah, you know, if I was a baby, that's probably what I would think, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know what to think. I mean, I think raising a child in the face of the internet is going to be extremely difficult. I think it already is extremely difficult
yeah.
for parents. Again, it's so much easier to just hand a kid an iPad than
to talk to him,
to find some
other way of entertaining him.
Build,
you know,
some Legos.
It also comes down to the fact that parents are busier now than ever.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, it's more difficult now than it was, say, you know, 40, 50 years ago to have a single income household.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So yeah. a lot of times both parents
now
are working.
Just make YouTube videos.
Yeah, both parents are working. So maybe one of them's making a YouTube video, YouTube channel. And I think in that case, they're probably more involved in their children's lives than, you know, corporate America. But
sure.
I think it's become, it's this detachment from parents and children that we're also seeing the implications of now
yeah.
in our society.
I just wish there was a some sort of statistical fact that, or statistic, that would just sort of tell me what's the best way to parent a kid with the internet.
There you go. That's the thing. There is no correct way of parenting.
Because I could give
But there are for sure wrong ways to parent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, I could give a kid an iPad and he could be playing chess, and then this kid would be way smarter than me, or at least way better at chess than I would be at age three, mm-hmm. right? That's already a thing. There's, like, three-year-old grandmasters. I'm like, holy shit, this kid's insane. But, like, it's almost like I could also hand him, like, one of those blocks where you stick a square into a square and a circle into a circle. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's what you used to do with kids. Did they think of toys in the same way as we think of, like, technology? Because there's technology that's just toys to kids.
I mean, but yes and no, because of the difference in the capability of that technology. You could hand a kid an iPad to play chess, but he could go on YouTube and watch someone getting killed.
That's fucked
you could up. You could watch an ISIS beheading on, maybe not on YouTube, but certainly within one Google search.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's going to be something hard for parents to control for sure.
Damn, dude. I don't want my kid to watch ISIS videos. I do. Maybe I just want to be like, this is the way the world is. This is fucked up. You got to fight against this weird ISIS stuff.
It's hard. It's really difficult now more than ever.
I'm daunted. I'm completely daunted. But, oh, God. What is raising a kid going to be like, dude?
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to say now, right? When we're 20-somethings and in college, but...
I just, like, some parents are like, I'm not letting my kid have a phone till he's, like, in high school.
I think that's unrealistic now.
I think it is, too.
I think, especially...
I mean, I think it may or may not be beneficial. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If it proves to be beneficial, then I'll do it, too. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like...
Maybe a smartphone.
Is it or isn't it?
Maybe a smartphone until high school. But I think now, just in terms of safety, giving a child a phone, teaching him, hey, if there's an emergency, you need to contact me or your sister or someone.
Or 911.
An adult, right?
Yeah.
You have this device where you could literally, anywhere you are, talk to that person. I think that's beneficial to have, especially for children.
Yeah, I agree.
But like I said, it's just hard to monitor what else they're doing with that technology. You know?
True.
What else
they're doing. There's parental locks and stuff, but... Dude...
Parental locks.
That's bullshit.
They're bullshit. They don't work.
You get around them real quick.
They don't work. Because children will always be more technologically adept than their parents. And they will for sure find a way around it.
Unless the blackout happens.
Unless the blackout happens.
Yeah. I don't know, man. How do you present children with something so potentially intellectually stimulating and also potentially extremely distracting?
I think you have to...
And expect... some result from it.
I think what you have to do is likely teach them the value of it, but also show them the dangers of it, right? You can't expect them to not want the distraction if you don't explain to them how it's, you know, detrimental.
Agreed.
Of course, it's not going to come to them intuitively that sitting there for hours watching YouTube is detrimental, right? But to say that sitting there watching hours of YouTube couldn't be beneficial... is also something you should show them.
Yeah.
That there are ways you can use technology to benefit yourself, even in an entertaining way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's many entertaining educational videos out there.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, that's what they do in schools now, right? Like, things that don't have the educational tab at schools don't allow them to show on YouTube, right? They have, like, almost a school-specific YouTube algorithm or something.
Oh, yeah, they have YouTube EDU. I think we're for just educational YouTube videos. Which is like
Maybe that's the way you do it. But then there's also probably ISIS shit on there too.
Yeah, no, it's all based through an algorithm, it's not, you know, a person sitting there watching these videos deeming that's good for kids, that's good for education, that's good for the general masses. It's an algorithm that's been designed by probably another algorithm to figure out, okay, kids on average are watching this video the most. This is probably a kid video. This video is clicked after a lot of kid videos, so that's probably also a kid video.
Yeah, goes in the next up next bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's this entirely detached from human reasoning.
Is that an artificial intelligence? We're going there. Is that an artificial intelligence, that algorithm?
It is, but not a general artificial intelligence. Because artificial intelligence already exists in a lot of ways.
Yeah, narrow artificial
intelligence. Narrow, exactly.
I can't wait for general.
It's going to be crazy.
It's either we're all die or we're all going to... be space babies,
mm-hmm.
like in 2001.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that, to be a big space baby.
Big space baby?
It was big, right? It wasn't just like a normal sized space baby.
Well, okay, wait, like it's the hard baby to tell. That was filmed was a normal sized baby, I would yes. imagine.
But I can't tell from looking at the movie if it was a giant space baby or just a normal sized space baby. To me, it looks like a giant space baby.
I think it was a giant space baby. That's you know, great. I'm not sure though.
Yeah.
We can't be certain.
No. What if we went out there in the big wide world in space?
Okay.
We saw a giant space baby.
That would throw a lot of people for a loop. You think people would think that was God? For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Or like the second coming.
Yeah. That's like Christ.
That's baby Jesus.
Yeah.
In space right there. He's coming to save us. And he's mm-hmm. just like flies away. Dude, I don't know what to think at that point. Mm-hmm. I'd probably just be like, shit, something, you know.
Something's going down.
Something's going down somewhere. They're turning people into space babies. Have you seen 2001?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It is good.
It's a crazy movie. Kubrick Whack. Is probably my favorite director, or one of my favorite directors.
I'd agree to that. Yeah.
Kubrick, Nolan, Spielberg.
Kubrick is... I can't think of any, like, as experimental, as big, sort of, as successful director as Stanley Kubrick.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only one who comes close to being experimental in a way is Django, Gun Guy.
Oh, Quentin Tarantino?
Quentin Tarantino, yeah. Pulp Fiction.
I wouldn't say he's experimental.
In terms of style.
He has a unique style, for sure.
Yeah, but he's not experimental in terms of, like, content.
Guillermo del Toro is concept. Very... I think he's more experimental.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree.
Del Toro.
Yeah. I haven't seen Shape of Water.
Neither have I. I heard it's really good,
though. You gotta watch that.
You gotta watch it.
That won some awards.
Well, it won a lot of awards. I watched Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. That was a pretty good movie.
Yeah? I wanted to watch that.
Three Billboards was pretty good. It was surprisingly good, actually. You know, yeah. When I saw it, I was like, this is a nominee. It's strange. But when I watched it, I was like, oh, I totally see why it's a nominee. It's very good.
There you go.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It's like a dark, dramatic comedy.
Yeah, like Fargo. Have you seen Fargo?
I have not seen Fargo.
Fargo's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. I was a little disappointed because it was very hyped up for me, but I liked it.
You liked Fargo?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Stanley Kubrick, Tom Cruise... Fuck, what's that movie called?
Stanley Kubrick and Tom Cruise?
Yeah, it's Stanley Kubrick's last movie that he ever made.
Oh, shit.
Eyes Wide Shut.
No, I haven't.
It's really good. It's weird, too. Like, it's weird on a Kubrick level.
Yeah, I love it.
It's weird. I don't think it's as weird as Clockwork Orange, but, like, it's definitely a weird concept for a movie.
Yeah.
It's had this weird, like, underground sex club.
Really?
That Tom Cruise goes and explores.
That's cool.
Yeah, after getting high with his wife.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, then weird shit happens from there.
Yeah. I mean, if underground sex club wasn't enough for you, right?
Right.
Shenanigans and
drugs and wives.
You want to wrap it up? It's been close to an hour and a half.
Yeah.
For
Let's
sure.
Let's get it going.
Well, listeners, thank you all for joining us again here on the Unofficially Brilliant Podcast. This has been Evan Duran and Kai Franco. Thanks for joining us, and until next time.
See you
around. Bye-bye. All right, listeners. Thank you all for joining us here today on another Unofficially Brilliant Podcast. I just want to say thank you all for giving us your valuable time, whether you're driving, at the gym, you know, walking your dog out in the street, whatever you're doing, appreciate it. If you want to stay up to date with everything Unofficially Brilliant, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Unofficially Brilliant. There we post all of our episodes. And if you want to stay up to date with not only the conversation, follow along with a bunch of the topics we talked about, some useful links, interesting reading, all that jazz, go ahead and check out our blog at unofficiallybrilliant.wordpress.com. Small caveat there. I may have misspelt brilliant when making the WordPress. I'm not gonna lie to you folks. Brilliant in the WordPress is gonna have one L. So it's unofficially brilliant with one L spelled incorrectly. You go ahead and blame me. That was my bad, but we're rolling with it. .wordpress.com. For all of your streaming needs. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Have a great day. Bye-bye.